We're not going to give you any space.
I don't need space. Oh, this is good.
How are we doing today, gentlemen? The day after the fast?
That first cup of coffee makes everything okay.
Oh, yeah? Okay. So why am I drinking tea?
You're a tea man, right?
I'm only a tea man because I spent 700 shekel to sit with a Chinese medicine guy and he told me I have to drink tea.
I could have told you that for,
for less than
300 shekel. Right.
But you're not Chinese. After a fast, I find it's hard to sleep through the night.
The tea helps?
Tea is the worst. It makes you get up a few times during the night, but we'll go into details.
I think it's a good deal.
Okay, Rabbi, so we're on Daf Hey and Aleph. Okay, man. Daf Hey and Aleph. And we're learning the sugya of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Lozor. Reish Lakish doesn't understand our mission at the beginning of the Masechta Zvachim. That you'll see three lines down from the top on Daf Heyam and Aleph. Rami Reish Lakish. The Gemara tells us exactly how he was, how his body was positioned when he asked this question. And he said, how could it be that in the Mishnah, if he shechted the carbon shalo l'shma, on the one hand the carbon is kosher, on the other hand it's not ol l'bayim l'shem chova. And if we say it's not ol l'bayim l'shem chova, what element in the carbon is apparently lacking?
Ritzu.
And Ritzu is the essence of the carbon. And that's what Reish Lakish is yelling and screaming about. Im Kshayrim Heim, Ye Ratzu. Vim Ein Heim Aratzim, Lom Heim Boim. And it's to say that the carbon is completely robbed of its Ritzu element, and yet it's still a meaningful carbon. Reish Lakish is bothered by that. And Rabbi Lozor wants to tell him, you know what? Maybe your question logically is correct, and it's a very compelling argument. How could you rob the carbon of its essence and yet still be a carbon kosher? But I do have a precedent for that. So I would say that if we were studying this sugya from a perspective of legal theory, this would be a precedent sugya. Meaning, if I have a precedent, then I see that there's such a thing as a carbon without ritzu. That's brought even though there's no reason. Now, Rabosai, let me ask you the following question. If Rabbi Lozor wants to quote a precedent, some case where the carbon is brought and there's no ritzu, what element or what historical episode could we bring into this discussion that is going to generate a situation where after this episode there's no ritzu? What in one word, what am I referring to? Something's going to take place, and as a result of that something, the carbon becomes robbed of its mitzu, of its ritzu. What is that?
Death,
exactly, mitzu. So this is a fascinating concept, because the principle that apparently the Gemara is working with, which is Rabbi Loz's principle here, that there's no ritzu on behalf of a dead person, that carbonus are brought for whom? For live people. And here he's going to quote a Mishnah in Masechta Kinim, and that Mishnah is going to describe a situation where we will bring a carbon, even though the Bala carbon is already dead. And what parsha in the Torah are we referring to?
Yoledes.
So in the case of Yoledes, and Yoledes is meant to bring an Ola and a Chatos, not that order, but at least an Ola and a Chatos, the Mishnah is going to describe two different scenarios. What exactly, when exactly did she die? So let's take a look inside. Omalo Rabbi Lozor. Matsinu, I'll give you a case where there's a carbon that's kosher and it's brought on the Mizbeach without ritzui, b'haboyim li'achar misa. The carbon is going to be brought posthumously. Shehen k'sherin v'ein meratzim. So you have to admit to me, Reish Lakish, that there is such a precedent in the world of Karbonos. This non, because we learned in a Mishnah in Masechta Kinim, and we're talking about a Yoledes, who's obligated to bring both a Chatos and an Ola, Again, it's very interesting that the Chatas plays a special role. Does anybody remember what special role this Chatas plays? It's not like a, it's not, it doesn't exhaust itself in the classical sense of a chet. I mean, she's Yoledes, it's hard
she
to...
She doesn't want
to
have another...
Machshirim?
Excellent, Machshirim. The essence of this carbon, as opposed to any classical carbon Chatas, is that it's a carbon on Machshir. In other words, we're talking about at the end of her 40-day period or her 80-day period, depends on if she had a boy or a girl, and she needs what? She needs Tara. And the Gemara identifies that process of Tara as a Machshir. And it's Machshir, meaning it makes it appropriate for her or gives her the license to enter into where? To Beis HaMikdash or to eat Kodshim. So all this is the clincher on the Yom Melos Tarasa of Hatara process. And at this point, Yoledes is considered a Mechusa Kapara. She's lacking in Kapara. She needs this Karban, or shall we say, the Chatos, to hone in on one of the two Karban. Again, it's counterintuitive, because you and I would have said that the Chatos is certainly not a Machshir, but the Gemara assumes that the Chatos is a Machshir. So far, so good? Okay. Now... What happened in this case? So the Mishnah in Kedem addresses two scenarios. And what's going to be common about both scenarios is that what came in the middle? Nisa, right, her death. So let's go through the Reisha and the Sefer. The Reisha says, the following, her Isha Sheheviya Chatosa. So what did she bring during her lifetime? The Chatos. So far, so good. Because if she brought the Chatas first, then as far as the Din Kedima is concerned, she's doing well. Because as we're going to see soon, and Tosas is going to make a gigantic business out of this, the Chatas has to come before the Ola. So far everything was done Kedasu Kedin. Tragically, she passed on. Umesa. So the Yarshim, it says in the Mishnah, Yaviu HaYarshim Olasa. So that's already an amazing chiddush here in this Mishnah, that we're going to bring an Ola, which was a Chovas Karban on whose shoulders? Right. On the Oledes' shoulders, but we're going to bring it by the Yarshim, Liachar Misasa. Could be that this has to do with a concept that we haven't gotten to yet called Shibuda Doraisa. Okay, well, whatever it is, we'll leave it for the time being, because our emphasis now is on the next scenario. Look at the next scenario. Olasa Umesa, they brought which carbon while she was alive? The Ola. That we're going to see soon in Tosis, that's a no-no. You know, to bring the Ola first before the Chatos, that's not good. And then it says, Lo Yaviu Yarshim Chatosa. There's no possibility of bringing her carbon Chatos on her behalf after her Misa. And you and I would have said that in the light of our discussion, our introduction, that what's the essence of the Karma Chatas and what's its purpose? Again, everyone, what's the key word? A Machshir. Can we all say that together? A little bit of a choir here, so I know you're awake. Again, answer me with one word after I finish the question. What is the essence of the Karma Chatas? A Machshir. Oh, good. Now I see we're awake. So you can only have a Machshir as long as what?
She's alive.
To be machshir her for the purpose of entering into the mikdash is nonsensical when it comes to a mesa. She's already gone. So that could have been one explanation of this, of the sefer of our Mishnah and Kedem. To our surprise, Rashi throws in another curveball here into the equation here. And Rashi says that forget about the machshir element, which is a sugya of Rav Yirmiya, by the way, but that's not for us today. Rashi says, lo yaviu yarshim chatasa, and Rashi invokes the halach of what? Everybody take a look at the Rashi. It's about, I would say, 8 lines down from the top of the page. Excellent. Chata shemesu baleha. Now, there are 5 categories of chata shemesu baleha. One of them is the simple category where the Bala Karban, who's obligated to bring the Chatas, died before he or she got a chance to bring the Karban Chatas. And in such a case, Azla Lamisa, Rashi says, we're going to let the Chatas just die. It is no Hechsher for this Chatas. And then Rashi adds, to boot Vehilchasa Gemirale. So he's invoking which principle? Halacha Moshe Sinai. I was very bothered by this Rashi because, at least Rabbi Yirmiyah Masechta Menachos says that the reason why we can't bring the Chatos is because the Chatos is what? Everybody? A Mashir. And you can't bring a Mashir after she's gone. But Rashi, for some reason, invokes the principle of Chatos Shemesos with Halacha Moshe Sinai. But in any event, the Yorshim are not able to bring the Chatos after she's gone. So in that case, we don't have a Karbon that's brought on the Mizbeach minus without a Ritzui, but that's in the Sefer. Now let's flip back to the Reisha. The Reisha is the case where what does she bring during her lifetime? The Chatos. If she brought the Chatos, the Mishnah says, Yaviu Yosheha Olasa, they can bring the Ola. Now that Ola is lacking in what element? Ritzui, because she's dead, and therefore there's no Ritzui violence. So you see, says Rabbi Eliezer, I have a precedent. Anybody know how to say a precedent in modern Hebrew?
Takdim,
excellent. We have a takdim for the ability to bring a karbon that's minus, that's completely bereft of what? Of ritzui. But today, for our purposes of today, believe it or not, we're not going to focus on that element of the sugya. Belineta will have to come back to it, but on the Sefer of this Mishnah. And the Sefer says that we cannot bring, the Yorshim cannot bring what? The Chatos. And why not, says Rashi? Because Mesu Balel. Now, what's the diuk here? If Rashi is invoking the principle of Mesu Balel, and therefore comes under the din of Chatos Shemesos, what's the flip side, Rabbi Osai? What's the diuk here?
Had she not died,
excellent. Had she not died, we would bring the karbon. And again, you'll ask me, how can we bring the karbon if there's no ritzui? The baal is dead. The answer is that's what Rabbi Loza wants to prove, that is da'azaza. There is such a thing. We recognize the ability to bring a karbon, even if it's lacking in what?
Ritzui.
In ritzui. Mendel, are you able to? I mean, you haven't been here.
That's okay. What's
Ritzui? Ritzui means that the karbon now brings a kium, some sort of fulfillment, to call it a kapara, on behalf of the baal karbon. And Reish Lakish was bothered by the following halacha, that there is such a thing in our mission at the beginning of Masechet Zvachim as a karbon that's kosher. It's going to be brought on the Mizbeach, even though the baalim are not going to have any sort of kapara, any Ritzui whatsoever. In fact, what do the Baalim have to do now?
Bring another one.
Bring another one. They have to replace it with a second one. So what good is the first carbon? What? Again, can I use the word meaningfulness?
She's dead.
No. I'm just saying, going back to the Mishnah in Zvachim, Reish Lakish doesn't know about the Mishnah in Kenim. I'm sure he knows, but it was Rabbi Lazar who answered Reish Lakish with the Mishnah in Kenim about the case where the Yoledes died. But Reish Lakish was focused on the first Mishnah in Masechet Zvachim. We've been focused on that Mishnah for about 3 months now, and so we can't blame Reish Lakish for being focused. And the Mishnah says that if the Kohen shechted the carbon shelo lishma, let's say an ola l'shem shlomim instead of an ola l'shem ola, then the carbon is kosher, but the Baalim now have to bring a second carbon to replace it. So that in Reish Lakish's mind is an enigma. It's an anomaly. Is that how you say it?
Anomaly.
Okay, I didn't say it right. But anomaly. What's the anomaly? Because a carbon is brought as a machaper. We spoke about a carbon as a machshir in the case of Chatos Yoledes. But let's leave out the case of Chatos Yoledes. Let's talk in general, in universal terms, about all carbonos. All carbonos have the element and the purpose of being a machaper. Now you're talking about a machaper, which is completely undermined. It's negated by the fact that the carbon was brought shelo lishma. So you've robbed the carbon of its power to be a machaper, but yet you're going to bring the carbon. It's still kosher. So Rabbi Lazar answers to Reish Lakish, I found a precedent for this. I'm going to show you a carbon that doesn't have that element of kapara. It's not a carbon that's maratza. And in fact, as a result, she's lacking this carbon. She can't have that ritzui carbon. She did not bring the ola during her lifetime. And yet, paradoxically, who's going to bring the ola? The Yorshim. Her heirs are going to bring the carbon ola. Could be the chayiv, yeah, because that's based on a different sugya which we're not covering. You know, the trouble with kachim is that you have to know everything to know anything. So that there's a sugya called shibud d'oraisa. Exactly how that operates is very complicated. And that's really the subject of this Tosus here, Divra Maskel Haga, which we're not going to study, because we want to study this Tosus Olasa. So this Tosus Olasa is focused on the Seifa. Let's go over the Seifa again. What carbon was brought during her lifetime? The Ola, correct? And now the Mishnah says we can't bring the Chatas. So Tosus says, why can't we bring the Chatas? The Mishnah tells us that something happened in between. What happened in between? Misa. The Misa makes it impossible to bring the Ola. The Diuk is therefore, had she not... The Diuk is that had she not died, then we would bring what? The Chatos. Take a look at Tosus. Tosus says, Mashma, Avalim Hoysa Yechol Lavi Chatosa. If she could bring the Chatos, i.e. if she didn't die, then fine. Again, which carbon did she bring first? The carbon Ola. In the Seder HaKarbonos, which carbon was she meant to bring first? The Chatos. No, she brought instead the Ola, correct? So she brought the Ola, and now she's going to bring, if she's alive, the Chatos. Everybody what, see that deal?
I see, but what does it prove? I'm not sure.
It proves that even though the Seder was turned upside down,
right,
nevertheless, the carbon is kosher. And that's a problem because Tosus is going to prove, as we'll soon see, from a Sugyan Psachim, that Seder is Le'ikuva, which means that if you mess up on the sequence of Karbanos, the carbon is possible. Here you see clearly that you can undermine the Seder and bring the second carbon first, in this case bring the Ola first, and then you could bring the Chata second. And that would be fine. Even though the Seder, L'chatchila, would have been to bring the Ola first, I'm sorry, to bring the Chatas first, and only then bring the Ola. She switched around the order, and she brought the Ola first. Mashmash is Tosus, Avolim Hoysa Yechola. If Yechola or Chaya, there's a girsa here that says Chaya, if she were alive and therefore she's Yechola Lahavi Chatasa, then that would be fine. Then she can bring the Chatas after the Ola. Okay, now I want to emphasize the next three words. Okay, what does it say here? He says the following. Is then also lo chatasa l'shem ola. Okay. Can you mamish emphasize those words? Also lo chatasa l'shem ola. By the way, did anybody or everybody get this page that I left on the shtender?
No.
You did? Okay. I Dr. Joel, you don't need it, but I'm just for the rest of us, you know, we don't have the
photo.
He has it in, he's got a photographic memory, so he has no problem. Now Tosus says that in the case where she was still alive, and what did she bring during her lifetime? We're both saying the Sefer of that Mishnah, let's go over it one more time. She brought the Ola. She can bring the Chatos afterwards. Says Tosfos, also la olasa l'shem Ola. What does that sound like to you, Rabosai? Can I get your gut feeling about those five words? Am I right? Also la olasa l'shem Ola. Start with the word mashma, right? So mashma, that if she was capable of bringing the Chatos, she'll bring the Chatos. And what's the Chiddush here? Which Tosus is going to attack.
He's Ola,
gonna,
is an Ola.
Is that what he says? That the first one counts? Yeah.
As an Ola.
As an Ola. Excellent. I want to just take a vote on this. I want you to hear what we're saying over here. The question is, does everybody agree that this is the Pshat in Tosus? Tosus says that he finds a chiddush in our sugya, which again he's going to attack, and he's going to try to defend this sugya from a contradictory source, that the Ola, which he brought before the Chatos, and again, what was the say there that she was required to do? What should she have brought first before the Ola? The Chatos. I see a gewaltige chiddush. That even though she brought the ola before the chatos, also la ola so l'shem ola. Do you see that? L'shem ola. That means it counts as an ola. If not for this gewaltige chiddush that Tosis derives from the diuk, what would have been our impression, our intuition, if there's a say there? If there's a seder here which requires the chatos first, why would the ola be possible? Because what has to come before the ola? Does everybody agree with this? The thrust of Tosis, I'll call it the havamina before Tosis's diuk, is that since the Torah requires that she bring the chatos first, that's telling me that the ola is possible. Meaningless, it's possible until first the chatos comes. And Tosis says, no, I see a gewaltige chiddush here in this Mishnah that also la olasa l'shem ola, even though she didn't bring the chatos first. So again, I'm not going to use the word matir here or leave all those concepts out for now, but I do see something in the halamin of Tosis. I want to learn with you the Ritva and see if we get the same impression from the Ritva. Tosis is going with the following shita, that whenever there's a say there, and B could only come after what? A, what it means is that you cannot bring B before A. Kipshuta. And that's what it means. The Seder tells me that first do this and then do this. And if you didn't bring what? The Chatos first, don't even dream about bringing the Ola. And Tosis sees a gewaltige chiddush in this Mishnah. That the Mishnah seems to be saying that if she were alive, she could bring the chatas after the ola, and what?
Yeah.
And there's no need
to bring a second
ola. Das is the word. That's the chiddush here. That Tosis is medayik from this Mishnah, that salkedayik, if I mean it without this Mishnah, I'm going to prove that this salkedayik is a maskana, it's not just a halam, you know. That since the Torah requires that the chatas comes first, there's no way, no how, that she can bring an ola before she brings a chatas. The chatas is what paves the way for the ola. And yet our Mishnah says that if she's alive, again, all the deal, if she would have been alive, then she'll bring the chatas. Mashma, if she brings the chatas, no need for anything else. He Tosis is building a lot here. Tosis is assuming that since the diuk is that she could bring the chatos if she were alive, then that's all she has to bring. And there's no need to bring what?
The ola.
Talk about the Mishnah and Kinnan.
That's the Mishnah and Kinnan. The safe of the Mishnah and Kinnan tells me that she brought the ola, and that's fine. Why? Because she's going to bring the chatos. And once she brings the chatos. So it means that according to Tosfos, the havamin of Seder Li Kuva would be that the Seder is ma'akev in the second carbon. The second carbon stands on the shoulders and comes only in the footsteps of the first carbon. If you switch the order around, there's no way, no how, that you could bring the second carbon first. That was the havamin. And Maskon is not. Seder is not Li Kuva. And even though she brought the Ola before the Chatos, the Ola is fine. And Tosis now has a raya for this. V'chein mashma b'toras kohanim. What do we see in the Toras kohanim? So the Toras kohanim says the following. The Toras kohanim says, the parshas, where am I? Isha ki tazria im hevia olasa tchila. She brought her ola first. Tavi chatosa. Now wait, I'm not going to read the next two words. Okay, I want to engage your mind. If we didn't have the next two words, would there be a raya to Tosis?
Yes.
I don't think so. Why? Because what does it say in the Torah's Kodim? It says something very innocuous here. That if she brought her ola first, then what does she have to bring? Her chatos. Does the Torah's Kohanim say that she brings the chatos and that's it? End of quote. And there's no need to. Yeah, maybe she has to bring an ola afterwards. So let's look at the Torah's Kohanim in the last two words, and it says mimin olasa. Notice what kind of chatos she has to bring. Mimin olasa. Well, wait a minute. The ola is completely possible, is it not? Because what did she bring first? She undermined the seder and she brought the ola first. And if you can assume that the Ola is now possible, why? Because she would have had to have brought the Chatas in order to bring a meaningful Ola, then why does the Torah Sonim say, Mimin Olasa? Mimin Olasa would only be a restricting rule that would be applicable, be logical, if the Ola is a meaningful Ola. If the Ola was Ola Psula, then why is she bound in the Chatas to bring the Chatas me Oso Min Sheviya Olasa? And that's what he's saying now, that I have two rights. One is from the Mishnah in Kinim, and one is from the Torah Kohanim. And both of these riots prove to us that what?
The Seder's not Makiv.
That even though she brought the Ola first, she was Yotze Zayin the Ola, and the Ola is a Karban Kosher, even though the Chatas was brought what? Was brought second.
Yeah. But where's the source that it is Makiv?
I mean, so that's where the Tema. You up to the Tema? Yeah. Yeah, you know by heart. But I mean,
right,
if you.
For them, I meant.
Yeah, for them.
What does it mean, the same mean a soup?
Yeah, the two meaning that you could bring an ola. We're talking about an ola sa'ov. No, we're talking about a bird. So it's something called torim and something called bnei yona. Mm-hmm. And the ola and the chatas become what's called a ken. A ken means a pair. And they always, both of them have to be brought from the same. You choose your bird, your favorite bird. Or maybe.
So that's
choose the bird that you don't like. I don't know. Anyway, right? Because we're going to do a real Malika job on this oath. So choose yourself a min. What are the two options? Torim bnei yona. What did we decide, Rabbo? So what's torim and what's bnei yona in the English language? Who remembers? Something about dogs and pigeons. I get so confused. Who? What?
Bnei yona is
turtle
pigeon.
Dogs and
bnei yona is.
Which is which?
Bnei yona is a pigeon.
Bnei Yon is not a dove, it's a pigeon. Yeah. It, so therefore, by passive elimination, I guess Torim are pigeons. Or doves.
Doves.
Oh, if Yonah is not a dove, then I guess Torim are doves. Okay, this is very confusing.
Is action two, if they're brought in order, they both have to be from the same min? Is that true? Is it just a special lingua that he's giving you if you brought them out of order?
No, in general. Always have to be, yeah. That all Masechta Kinim is about this one point. An entire Masechta that's built on one premise. That both members of the pair, of the ken, have to be brought from the same one. An entire Masechta that you could probably spend a year on. All built on that one premise. Because the whole Masechta is about Sfeikis, and you don't know, was it a Torah, was it a Ben Yona, which did she bring, and which did she not bring, what was her Medava, and what was her Neder, and so forth and so on. That Masechta is perfect for a mathematician. But if you're not good at math, I would not recommend learning Masechta Kinim. It's not a good idea, because there are like 16 variables, and you have to keep hold cup, you know, and how many different karbonas does she have to bring in every suffix, and the Kohen brought the wrong min, and she thought she was bringing, it's mind
just a general question, why do you have to bring both a chatas and an olah?
On a philosophical level, that's for the Lubavitchers, meaning, I mean that seriously, because the only source I could point you to is in Torah Chabad. I don't know of any other source. The Ramban takes a stab at trying to understand certain things about karbanos on a philosophical level. That's the beginning of the introduction of Ramban to Sefer Vayikra. You know, the part that the article doesn't bother translating because it's all derech hasod, and it's beyond the scope of this elucidation. So but if you want to learn the Balatanya, which is called Likutei Torah, then after you figure it out, please teach it to me. Because I tried, I couldn't make any headway out of it.
So as far as the luck goes, that's just the way it is. You have to bring both.
The way it is that they both belong to a set, a series. And each one adds something. I would say the following, just on a halachic level, without getting philosophical, is that the purpose of the Ola is a machaper. Again, you don't know exactly what she's guilty for. There's a chazal that she took an oath at the time she gave birth. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And the chatos is a machaper, is a machshir.
What's a machshir?
A machshir means it allows us to re-enter into the camp of Israel. Because she's tmeya tumas leida. Again, you'll ask yourself, why is she tmeya tumas leida? You know, she... Tumas Lida, I might be able to explain a little bit philosophically, but Tumas Leda, I mean, that's
Mamash Antithetical. It's blood with the birth.
Yeah, I understand, but, you know, why is that blood Metameha? Do you follow my question? In the case of Nidah, there was potential for life. So, you know what I'm saying? The greater the potential for life, the greater the death generates tumah. You know, like, what's the avia mos of tumah? Of all tumah is mess, is a human body, because that's the loss of life. Okay, we got off on a tangent.
Okay.
Let's try to understand Vitema. Tosa says Vitema. And what Tosis wants to suggest in the Vitema is that we have a stira to this whole principle, correct? And he says the following: to be perik tomid nishchat amrinon ze binyan av shekolach atos kod mostly olos. Okay. Yeah. What? Before we, again, there's so many different details here to this whole picture, but if I can just indulge you in just the fundamental breakthrough here, what, just on a very simple level, how does Tosis interpret this principle in Masechta Pesachim called Chatos Kodmos Li'olos? What does he understand from that? I understand, but what I'm asking is, again, if you go back to my original question that I asked you, is it ma'akev or is it not? He's understanding that's ma'akev. So the word kedima here, or kodmos in the plural, is critical, because Tosis reads in that word kedima the following: that if A has to come before B, don't even dream of switching around the order. B cannot exist on its own as a valid carbon without A. And now we have a universal principle when we compare a chatos and an ola, which comes first? The chatos comes first. So if the chatos is kodemously ola, Tosis understands from that sugyan psachim, it means that the ola, no way, no how, could be a meaningful ola, can't be valid, unless first you fulfill the rule of chatos kodemes li'ola. And that undermines both the diet that we had for the Mishnah in Kenan here in Tzvachim Tafei, and the Torah's Kohanim, which says that if she brought the ola first, she's going to have to bring the chatos as a pair from the same min, meaning that the ola is kshera.
Isn't there a klal in Kachin that is mentioned twice in the Ma'akim?
Twice in the Torah.
Right, so isn't it mentioned twice or not?
I don't know. That we have to see, and hopefully Tosis is going to clarify that when we get to Reb Chaim. Not Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim the Baal Tosis. Okay. But before we get to that, I wanted to show you the Ritva. And my question for you today is, does the Ritva operate with the same premise as Tosis? We're very familiar with Tosis's premise. He proves it from this halach of kedima, that hachatos kodmos b'chol mokam hachatos kodemes li'ola, that the ola can't be brought without the chatos, and we're going to have to find exceptions to the rule, maybe in the case of Yoledes, maybe in the case of Mitzora, I don't know where the exceptions will apply. And the ola should be possible. Why should the ola be possible? Because of the din kedima. And until you bring the chatos, don't talk to me about an ola. That's how Tosis understood. Now, I don't want to prejudice you, because I want you to see the Ritva in more than one light, and it's possible that we can, that the Ritva is like silly putty, so to speak, and we could interpret it in the light of Tosis. But my real question to you is, if we want to be brutally honest about it, is the Ritva operating with the same premise as Tosis? Do you have the question now in the back of your mind? Okay. So now, Mekendo for invite, right? We're going to now read the Ritva in song. The Ritva says the following. First, he quotes our Mishnah in Kinim, and he says, Hodisnana Isha Sheviya Chatosa Umesa Yavio Yosheh Olasa. As long as the Chatos was brought, then the Yarshim could bring the Ola. And now the Ritva tells, he wants to know, what does the word hevia mean? Because if you go through Kachim, the word hevia or hevi could mean one of two things. It's one of those ambiguous terms. Sometimes the word hevi means to consecrate the carbon, what we call hakadosh. And that means you set aside the carbon, you say harezu ola, harezu chatas, even if it hasn't yet been brought on the mizbeach. Then there's another shot in the word hevia. Hevia means, or hevi, it was brought on the mizbeach. in the middle between the two polar extremes, there's something called bringing the carbon to the Azara. Again, the Zara doesn't enter into the Azara, but when he comes to the bounds of the Azara, to whom does he pass on the carbon? To the carbon. And some say that the word Hevi means literally to physically bring the carbon and hand it over, transfer it over to the hands of the Kohen. The Ritva wants to reject the following two possibilities. Hevia does not mean A, Hekadisha, and it doesn't even mean B, that she brought the carbon to the Kohen, but rather it means C. What does Hevia mean? That the carbon was brought on the Mizbeach. So we're going to substitute, says the Ritva, for the word Hevia, which is ambiguous, an absolutely clear term that is undeniable, undebatable, and that's Hekriva. Pirush on the second paragraph. Again, there are a lot of parts of this Ritva that are not relevant to us. I put them in a small font, and that's an experiment to see if you appreciate that. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what time I woke up this morning. Anyway, Upirish Shehevia Chatosu Mesa Hainu. Cross out the word Hevia because that's too ambiguous. Shehekriva Osa Mamish Michaim. Again, this fits into our principle that what undermines the carbon here? Misa, correct? If Misa undermines the carbon, sure, then what good is it, says the Ritva, if she was mafresh the carbon, if she was magdish the carbon? That doesn't do me any good, because the Torah tells me that I can't bring the chatos after the Misa's violent, which means that the Mizbeach is not going to tolerate, so to speak, this carbon, the bile of which is already dead. So therefore, if she died, how can you tell me, well, she brought the chatos, which means anything but hakrava, up to but not including hakrava, and now we're going to bring the ola afterwards. The ola can only be brought if the chatos was a chatos kshera. The chatos can only become a chatos kshera if the hakrava of the chatos took place when? During her lifetime. So that's the principle of the Ritva b'afrasha b'amalosadi. At this point, at least I'm very comfortable with the Ritva. I have no compunctions, no issues with the Ritva. Oh, but listen to the next line of the Ritva. Okay, let's see how do we want to interpret this line. And he says the following. The Kevan de Mesa, if she already died, the Efsha Lahakriv Chatosa is Afa'ola in a Kreva. What does that sound like a little bit? Does that remind you by sheer association of Tosfos? Again, what was the Havamin of Tosfos until he learned our Mishnah, and he claims that Havamin is borne out by an explicit Gemara in Masechta Pesach and Perek Tavid Mishchat, that if the Kediva was messed up, then the Ola should be on the mind, correct? Zevi Shamayim al Makom B'Shvut. Say that? Okay. Yeshua said, Ninshal Avim Mizbeach. Okay. Okay. So now, is this relevant to the discussion of Tosfos? Did I pull the wool over your eyes? This is absolutely irrelevant. Because what did she bring? She brought the Ola. I was asking you about a different question, and that was Tosfos' focal point. Namely, she brought what first? The Ola. Correct?
Ola.
Yeah, I'm saying the whole structure of Tosfos revolves around the issue where she brought the Ola first. That's not what the Ritva is addressing. He's in the Reisha of the Mishnah in Kinim, where the Chatos was brought, right? And he says if she died before the Chatos was brought, then he can't bring the Chatos. The Ola wasn't brought. Does anybody have a Havamin that we could bring the Ola?
No.
Tosfos is vacillating back and forth if you could bring the Ola and it's kosher if you brought it before the Chatos. But if there's no possibility whatsoever bringing the Chatos, then Kliyamolo Pligi, we're not going to bring the Ola. Are you with me? And that also probably fits into more or less the same kind of concept of Chatos Shemesu Baleha. Meaning Chatos Shemesu Baleha can be extended to some extent to any carbon, which means that we can't bring the Ola after the Chatos. The pair has to be Chatos and Ola. If we can't bring the Chatos, we can't bring an Ola. Is that crystal clear? Rabbi, you look like you're wavering back and forth on this point.
I can't even explain the question.
Yeah, you don't have to explain the question because I'm going to give you the answer to the question. No, seriously. All we're saying is something that's so simple that, you know, it doesn't even pay to belabor the point. Our whole discussion about whether an Ola could be kosher or not kosher, which is the focal point of Tosfos, if she brought the Ola before the Chatos, that's only because there was a Chatos. If there's no possibility whatsoever of bringing the Chatos, the Ola is not even a Havamina. The Ola can't exist on its own. That's the Ritva's point, that if she died after the Hakdosha of the Chatos, but before the Akrava of the Chatos, then the whole deal is off. You can't bring the Chatos because she's Mesa. If you can't bring the Chatos, then there's no Ola.
Tosef doesn't disagree with that.
No, absolutely not. That's why I'm saying that this part, I fooled you when I said to you, does this sound like Tosef? Because when you first read it, and he says, you know, the Ola is completely out of the question over here. You think maybe that's the Havamina of Tosfos, that Tosfos wants to entertain the possibility that the Ola is completely psula. But that was just to fool you, just to make sure that you understand what's going on here. Because when Tosfos is discussing whether the Ola could possibly an Ola share or not, he's talking about the case where she brought the Ola and then she brought the Chatos. But in a case where there's no possibility whatsoever of bringing the Chatos, because before the Hakrava she died, then for sure there's no Ola. Okay, fine. But now let's fast forward to the next paragraph in the Ritva. Okay. Here's where I think it gets exciting. The Kashalon. I have the following question. Until now I've been dealing with the Resha and the possibility of the Chatos being valid because it was brought on the Mizbeach during her lifetime and then bring the Ola afterwards. Everything's fine. Now let's fast forward to the Sefer. The Sefer is talking about a case where she brought what during her lifetime? The Ola. And now the question is, can we bring the Chatos? And the answer is, says the Mishnah, Mesa. She died. If she died, there's no possibility of bringing the Chatos. Correct? That's called Chatos Shemesu Balea Ozlo Lemisa. And Rashi already quoted that before the Ritva. But now Tosfos says, Lama Li Mesa. Are you coming to tell me that only because she died, only because she died, we cannot bring what? The Yoshim can't bring the Chatos. Lowly Mesa. Afilu lo Mesa Nami. Now listen carefully to the language of the Ritva. He says, Kevan Shekvar Kreva Olasa. Shuv Einam Akrivim Chatosa. Rabbo said, what does that sound like to you? I know there's a din of Kedima, but before what we said was the din of Kedima makes the Ola possible. First bring the Chatos, then bring the Ola. And Tosfos is totally blown out of the water. How could it be that in this case where during her lifetime she brought the Ola, then she's going to bring the Chatos if she's still alive, and the Ola is Kshera. We don't have to repeat a repeat performance for the Ola. Tosfos says, no, you can't bring the Ola before the Chatos. And Tosfos is going to prove that from a Sugyan Psachim. But look at the Ritva, Rabosai. Again, I want everyone to read the words of the Ritva carefully. The Ritva says, I don't get it over here. Kevan shekvar kreva olasa. Right? And at this point, Tosfos would say, how could that Ola be an Ola Kshera? But look at the Ritva. The Ritva says, Kevan shekvar kreva olasa. Shuv eim akrivim chatoso. What's bothering the Ritva, Rabosai?
Yellow is not invalid.
No, I don't see it. Yechiel, I don't see it. But we can fight this out. You don't have to see it the way I see it.
He's saying it's nothing
because it's no ain't poke fiat that tid.
He's saying the old is not the problem. It's the Chatos.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that. I thought you were saying that the Ola was psula. That's not what he's bothered by. He's not bothered by the Ola. I didn't hear the negative at the beginning of your sentence. What's bothering the Ritva is how could it be possible that we're going to bring the Chatos? How does the Ritva understand the din of Kedima? That the Chat, it's ma'akiv in what? Again, until we saw the Ritva, it was ma'akiv in which? A or B?
The
B. In B.
B.
You have to do A and bring A before you do B. But the Ritva seems to turn it inside out and upside down. The Ritva says there's no way that the Chatos could be Kshera unless it was the first carbon. The Halach of Kedim is Halach in A and not in B. Again, I want you to underline the following four words in the Ritva. Again, you don't have to underline it. But in your mind, I mean, underline it. But Shuv Ein Makrivim Chatosam.
Underline it twice.
In other words, how does the Ritva understand? You remember, of course, that Tosus invoked at the beginning a sugya in Psachim. And what did it say in the Psachim? It says in Psachim, Chatos. Where's the Lashon of the Gemara in Psachim again? Sorry. Here's the Gemara in Psachim. Ze binyan av. Lechol shekol chatos kodmos liolos. Has the Ritva read that? Hachatas kodemos liola.
That the chatos is possible, it's not.
That the chatos has to come first. Not the way we learned it, that the ola has to come second, and you can only bring the ola after the chatos. The Ritva is saying, no, the chatos has to come first. You're insulting the Bechar. I'm just using that with Saber to Ozen.
But that Gemara, the Gemara itself points out that from the Pasuk, because it was clear that the Ola has to come second.
Well, no, listen to the Pasuk. The Pasuk says the following. The Rachmana Omar Vehela, again, I'll read the whole Pasuk to you, Vehela Koin Isa Ola, and the Gemara says, Shehela Kvar, meaning that he already brought the Chatos. Bahainu, Tosus says, so it means that according to the way Tosus is understanding it, what happens is that the Chatos has to come first and then you can bring the Ola, correct? So now if you brought the Ola before the Chatos, you have a problem with the Ola. That's how Tosus learns this sugya. The Ritva, I think, is learning it differently. The Ritva is saying the following, that the Torah is requiring Helokvar. What's the Helokvar? The Chatos. That the Chatos kodemes li'ola. So again, Yechiel is right that in the Pasuk it seems to say that, oh, when it's for Hela Kvar, then you can bring the Ola. And that's Tosas Hashita. The Ritva is saying the following. Hela Kvar means that you first brought the Chatos. If you didn't first bring the Chatos is Psula. Let's read the Ritva one more time. I'm trying to convince myself that I'm reading the Ritva properly. He says, "Kevan shekvar krev ha'olasa shuv ein makrivim chatosa." In other words, the ola itself is not bothering the Ritva. He has no qualms about the ola. His problem is ein makrivim chatosa. How can you go ahead and bring the chatos?
The pasuk is very. It says the pasuk says very clearly, "Ve'es hasheni yase ola kemishma."
It doesn't say the hella there?
No.
Wait a minute. Let me see.
In Vayikra, he says
I thought it says the hella. Maybe I'm reading the wrong passage. It says, Rachmona, you have the Tosus says about Rachmona Omar Vehela? Do you have that Tosus? It's not that hard. It's just two lines beyond the Zebin Yanam. He says, Rachmona Omar Vehela.
Is this a different one?
Which Tosus
mean?
Tosus Dibra Maschil Olosa Kumesa.
Yeah, it's two lines after what?
Maybe you have a different text than I do, which is possible. But I have a text that says Drachmana Omar Vehela. You don't have that in your Tosus?
I don't see. Just tell me what line we're on. The
just look for the word Vehela. Can you do a word search? He's got it up on the computer, so he can just do it. Vehela. And what's missing here is Mashma Shehelokvar. In other words, that the Chatos was brought before the Ola. Helokvar. So again, how do you learn the Helokvar? So according to Tosus, the Helokvar, the way you wanted to learn it, you feel that you can only bring the Ola because the Helokvar. But the Ritva, I think, is learning the Helokvar as it did in the Chatos. That you can only bring the Chatos because it was the Kvar. Kvar means what?
Okay.
The first. It was the first. So let's see how we learn this halach of Seder Kedimas Chatos Liola. Tosis is learning Seder Kedimas Chatos Li'ola should be logically Likuva, and therefore the Ola can't be brought before the Chatos, and there's no way that the Ola could be Kshera before the Chatos. On the other hand, the Ritva is learning that I agree with you, Tosis, that there is a din of Seder Likuva. But in my opinion, the Seder Likuva is on the Chatos Kodemes Li'ola. And in fact, Rav Osai, this halach of Chatos Kodemes Li'ola is not limited to the case of Yoledes. The Gemara is going to apply to many, many other situations. We'll see in a few minutes. Yeah, go ahead.
I just said, with all due respect to Tosis' Lashon Ve'ela, but the Pasuk is very, very clear. The Pasuk has two psukim. One that says, it says, Ve'ikri v'sa'isa shalachatas rishona, two psukim layim, perikei, Pasuk Yud. It says, v'sa'sheni ya'ase ola, and the Ritva has to have a problem with that. Because you can't tell me the Ola is okay to be first, it's just a problem with the Chatas can't be second. No, the Ola can't be first either. This is Vashayni Yaseh Ola, it has to be second. There's nothing you can do.
So what we have to do now, I guess, is maybe a word search and see where Tosfos got the word Vehela from. You want to do that for me? I wouldn't... Rav Osai, if it's only with your permission, if we can make a little progress. Again, the only thing I want you to take out of this for our purposes is the following. Yesh Lachkum. How do we understand the din of Chatos Kodemes Li'ola? The two possibilities. There's a din of Kedima here. And the Seder has to be first Chatos and Ola. Is that a din in the Ola, that the Ola can only come after what? The Chatos? Or is it a din in the Chatos, that the Chatos has to come before the Ola? And what we're suggesting here, again, I don't have all the, you know, the trouble is that, you know, we can't do everything in one shia, but what we do want to accomplish is that perhaps if you read both Tosis and the Ritva carefully, you'll see a discrepancy between Tosis and the Ritva. Tosis can't tolerate, he can't figure out why the Ola is an Ola Kshera if she brought the Ola during her lifetime before she brought the Chatos. The Ritva is saying, again to quote his language, Hare kevon shekvar ekrivo losa shuv ein lahakriv chatosa. Meaning that the Chatos has to become first, and if she brought the Ola first, we can't bring the Chatos first. So it seems like the Ritva is putting all the emphasis on the Psul in what? In the Chatos.
So according to the Ritva, the Ola is kosher?
I don't know. That's an excellent question. We'll have to deal with that. Do you want to deal with that now? Because again, Yesh Lachar, I don't know. He's, you know, Mendel's bringing up another question here, which also is very engaging. Just that I can't address all the questions in the world. But he's asking, if the Ritva says that the Chatos, insofar as it wasn't brought first, is Psula, now we have to ask another question. Okay, you're going to have to replace the Chatos, or you're going to replace the Ola as well. So what I'm suggesting here is that, again, I don't know how this works. I can tell you how it works in Etch-a-Sketch. Do you remember that toy? Did you play Etch-a-Sketch as a kid?
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly how Etch-a-Sketch works here, but in this case. But apparently, once you do an Etch-a-Sketch here, what it means is that the Chatos was insulted because she brought the Ola first. Now we have to calm down the Chatos. In order to do that, we're going to do an Etch-a-Sketch. And we're going to say, let's start from the beginning. The Ola is an Ola Kshera. That we don't have to bring. But the Chatos is now second fiddle, so we're going to do an Etch-a-Sketch. And we're going to erase the Ola, so to speak, from the horizon. And now she's going to bring a Chatos. The other way of learning it, Mendel, is the way you wanted to say it, that if you're doing an Etch-a-Sketch, then forget about the Ola. Now she's going to have to bring a Chatos and an Ola. Mm. But again, even if I agree with you with that, you have to, if you're on board with me in reading the Ritva the way I'm reading it, then you have to admit that the reason why she might have to bring the Ola afterwards is in order to facilitate the Chatos. Mm. And then the thrust of the din of Kedima, according to the Ritva, is on the Chatos. And I'm frankly speaking, I'm very excited about that, because I'm going to try to prove to you that whenever we have a din kedima, the din kedima is on the first one, not on the second one. How do I prove that to you? From a sugya menachos. Okay. Now I'm going to read to you, just to save time, a footnote in Art School. I'm not a big fan of Art School, but he fills you in on a little bit of the background here. And we're talking about a mitzorah. So again, if you want, you can photocopy this if you have a chance. Otherwise, it's very quick.
Right.
This is on page 5A, number 2, in Masechta Menachos. And it says the following. The Mitzorah's offerings are brought on the final day of his purification process. That means day number 8 in the case of Mitzorah. He doesn't point that out here. And he says the following. The Mitzorah brings to the I'll translate this into Hebrew because I have trouble here with English. He brings to the Beis HaMikdash a carbon asham, a carbon chatos, and a carbon ola. So if chatos, if whatchamacallit, if your lettuce wasn't complicated enough, mitzorah is 10 times more complicated. Because now we're starting with an asham, then we get to a chatos and an ola. Let's focus our attention on the last two karbonos, meaning the chatos has to come before the ola. Okay, that's pretty good. Now, what happens with this carbon asham, which came first on the list? He says it's a very unique halacha that applies to mitzorah. And that is that together with the asham, I'll read to you his language if I can find it for you. After he does shechita on the asham, he takes the dam of the asham and he applies it to three parts of the body of the mitzorah. That's called the mitzvah's right ear, his right thumb, and his right big toe. Okay. But that's not the point that we want to get to. We want to get to what's called the Hazos HaShemen. What's Hazos HaShemen? He pours the oil. Okay, there are two Kohanim here. So there's one Kohen who's Makabel Adam. And then, with the Lug Shemen, he pours some of the Shemen into the... Okay, this is another sugya into itself. The left palm of the assisting Kohen. Okay, that's not for us, Rav Osai, why left and not right? Okay. Then he says, the first Kohen dips his right forefinger into the Shemen and sprinkles it seven times towards what? Anybody know? The Kodesh Kadosh. That's critical. This is not, don't just shake your head on this, we have to get this straight. So again, the first set of hazos of the shemen, which follows the shechita of the asham, and after the zrikas dam, then not the zrikas dam, but the matan damim al bahonos, we'll call it. Then comes what? Then comes the hazos hashemen towards seven times towards what? The Kodesh Kedoshim. Okay. Then there's additional shemen, which he takes, I guess you call it Shiori HaShemen, from the Kohen who's assisting him. And once again, he does a Matan Bahonos, but this time with what? Not with Dam, as it was in the first time, but rather with his Shemen. And then there's something called Matan HaRosh. Okay, that's a whole sugya unto itself. The remaining oil has to be poured over the head of the mitzvah. Okay, hopefully with that information, we can go on. Okay then? So again, in terms of Hazos HaShemen Keneged Kodesh HaKadoshim and Matan Bahonos with the Shemen, again, both are done with the Shemen. Okay, but which came first in the order that I read to you? Was it the Kodesh Kadoshim, the Hazor, or the Matan Bahonos? It was the Kodesh Kadoshim. The Hazor came first. So the Gemara Menachos wants to know what happens if he switches the order. So it says the following: Hikdim Matan Shemen L'matan dom Yimalenu. Okay, this I only quoted part of the sugi here. Okay, Yimalenu Shemen V'yachzor V'yiten Shemen Achar Matan Dam. Okay, that's not, that part of the sugi I'm going to leave out. And again, everyone's invited to study that on his own, but I can't cover everything in one shot. But let's do the next part of the sugi. Again, he was Maktim. He was Maktim as Samaucha. So what was he Maktim? He was Maktim the Matan Behonos to the Matan Sheva. So the seven, we'll call it Hazoyos, towards the Kodesh Kadosh with the Shemen, which was meant to come first, came second. Okay?
Didn't you mention
Dam? No, yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize for mentioning Dam. That's another sugi unto itself. I can't cover all the sugis. Is that all right, Zev? Again, I feel very guilty when I can't answer all your questions, but sometimes I'm just focused on the part of the sugi that I understand. So if you ask me for a different part of the sugi, it's the Gemara in Shabbos that says you can't ask Rebbe from one sugi to another sugi. That's not what it says, by the way, in the Gemara. The Gemara says that when Rebbe is learning one Masechta, you're not allowed to ask him a question from another Masechta. But I heard once from Rav Parnas, how many people in the Shia know Rav Parnas, Rav Yehuda Parnas, Shlita. He once said that that was Bisman Rebbe, but in our time, you can't ask him from one line of the Gemara to the next line of the Gemara. And why? Because it's getting embarrassing. So I accidentally printed that part on the page. So let me talk about the part that's relevant to us. Okay. Matan Bahonos Lamatan Sheva. So we're talking about the seven Hazoyos Keneged what? The Kodesh HaKadosh, and were meant to come first, and instead he switched around the order and he did the Matan Bahonos with the same Shemin, but he did that first. Oh. So what does he say here? What's the din going to be? Okay. So what I want you to do is, I'm going to, for pedagogical purposes, I'm going to take a break here, and I'm going to ask you to think about the following question. If there's a din kedima, ma'akev, then which does he have to replace? Where is the problem here? Is it going to be with the hazoya keneged kodesh hakadoshim? Okay, who should do that reflect the way we're presenting it?
That it has to be first.
But in other words, if I'm going to tell you that because he messed up the order, we have a serious problem with the Hazoya Keneged Kodesh Kadosh, and which of the two Shitas that we have would that represent, so to speak, reflect? Would it be the Ritva or Tosfos? You have a 50% chance of getting that right.
Tosfos.
No, again. The Ritva was the one who said that the Chatos is a problem because she brought the Ola first.
Right.
So if I'm going to tell you now that the problem is the Hazoyas, Zion Hazoyas, Keneged Kodesh HaKadoshim, doesn't that reflect the Ritva Shita? According to Tosus, where should the problem lie?
In the second one.
In the second one. Namely in what? In the Matan Bahonos. Because the Matan Bahonos cannot come before the Hazoya, Keneged Kodesh HaKadoshim. So let's see who's right. In other words, is Tosus right or is the Ritva right? So the Gemara says in Masechta Menachos, Yemalenu Shemen, V'yachzor V'yitein Matan Bahonos, he's going to need a second Matan Bahonos. Who sheet is that, Rav Ozai? Can you get this right? Okay. Where did I lose you? I didn't think I would lose you on this. Again, you have A and B. And you switched around. And the B came before A. So Tosa says that's a problem in what? In B, because B can't come until after A.
He accepts that.
The Ritva says that what? That if you have A and B, that means A has to come first. That if A was insulted, was downgraded, right? What's it called
disrespected.
No, I'm in flying in airplanes. What's it called when you wanted to get a business class, right?
Downgrade.
So is there a word downgrade?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Ritva is saying that you're downgrading the Chatos, which the A has to come before B. Okay? Now, instead of A being Chatos and B being Ola, let's plug into the A the Hazoya Keneged the Kodesh Kadoshim. And B becomes the Matan Bahonos.
But we didn't establish previously whether, in the case of Ritva, if you had to bring the
Ola. No, but I'm going to ask you the following question.
That was a question for
right,
that.
Right. Yeah. Let's assume, Don, for our purposes, that if the Ritva is saying that you have to bring the Chatos
first,
and if you didn't bring the Chatos, how could you possibly bring the Chatos after the Ola? So you're going to have to bring the Chatos. Tosus doesn't have that issue. Tosus saying, if you brought the Ola before the Chatos, then you have to bring the Ola a second time around. So is the Ritva saying you have to bring the Chatos? Again, what's going to be with the Ola according to the Ritva is a different sugi, but I just want to point out that the nafkamina and the machlokas between Tosus and the Ritva is whether or not you have to bring the Chatos again. The Ritva says, you got to bring the Chatos again. Tosus is not bothered by the Chatos, if you remember the beginning of the Shia today. Tosus is only bothered by the Ola. Okay, now, if we transpose this, or whatever word you want to use, over to the case of Hazoya and Matan Bahonos, then according to the Ritva, what do we need now, if he switched around the order? Because the Hazoya should have come first, and instead he switched the order and he started with the Matan Bahonos. So what is he going to need now? No, everything is with Shemin. But I'm asking you, you have two choices here. Hazoya or Matan Bahonos. Those are the choices. Don't answer me Shemin, because everything is Shemin. And then you can just... What?
It's Dazar on that.
Correct, because according to Mitva, the problem is in the Chatos, and in this case, the problem is going to be in the... In the Hazar, correct? The Hazar can make kosher kadosh, the Hazar. According to Tosus, on the other hand, my problem is he had no right to do the Matan Bahonos until first he did what?
Hazar.
He did the Hazar.
So they both require the Hazar again.
So let's see what the Gemara says. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Yimalenu Shemen, right? V'yachzor v'yite Matan Bahonos. Again, he did Matan Bahonos, then Hazar. The Gemara says now he has to do what? Matan Bahonos. Are you with me?
Yeah, right.
So whose sheet is the Gemara reflecting now?
It's Tosos.
I gave up. So just say the word Tosos and make me a happy camp.
No, but Bob could agree. You're saying we don't know what he holds.
No, but I'm saying the following. We know that the Mitva is holding that you have to do the Chatos first. What he did first was what?
Bahonos.
Was the Bahonos, correct? So the Gemara should have said that he has to do another set of Hazos. And listen to the Gemara's language. The Gemara says he already did Hazos. And that's okay. But Yimalena Shemen, V'yachso V'yite, Matan Bahonos. The Gemara doesn't require that he replace the Hazar of Shemen Hazos. According to the Mitva, if the Halacha is that the first has to come first, and if the first came second, then you have to redo the first, that's for sure, that has nothing to do with my discussion with Mendel, then in the case where he did the Matan Bahonas first, then what has to certainly be replaced?
The
Hazar, correct?
According to both.
Again, Nochamo. According to the Ritva, do you agree with me that he has to replace the Hazar?
Yeah.
So why doesn't the Gemara require that he replace the Hazar? You hear my kasha? Bishlam, according to Tosfos, Tosfos says the only problem is in the Ola. How can you possibly be Machshir the Ola if you brought the Chatos first? The Ola is going to be an Ola Psula. So now you're going to have to replace the Ola. So then the Gemara makes a lot of sense over here. Because what does the Gemara say? That he has to replace the Matan Bahonos. Why? Because the Matan Bahonos was meant to be what? A or B?
B.
So since he brought A after B, so now he has to redo B because B came before A. And the Gemara doesn't require that you replace A. So that makes sense according to Tosfos.
No, but we said Tosfos.
No, nobody agrees.
Not agree.
Okay, it's okay. I don't mind if you disagree with me. That's fine.
Do you agree?
I have a problem with the fact that the Ritva, that you don't know what his second step is.
But that's irrelevant. The Ritva, need is a yes or answer question. According to the Ritva, do you have to redo or replace the Chatos if you brought the Olafos?
Yes.
That's explicit in the Ritva.
Right.
No, in a parallel case, do you have to replace the Hazoyas Kodesh Kadoshim, right, if you did the Matan Bahonos first?
Yes.
The Gemara says no. The Gemara says all I need now is after you did the Hazoyas, you have to redo what? The Matan Bahonos. That's all the Gemara requires, is to replace the Matan Bahonos. That's against the Ritva.
But it's a Tosfos didn't require you to bring the Ola again.
Tosfos has a stira from a Gemara elsewhere, but I'm saying Tosfos logically felt that since the Chatos has to come before the Ola, then the Ola should be an Ola Psula. Do you remember that?
No.
No.
Basically, no.
So read the Tosfos again. Should we start again?
Can I leave that to you, Don?
No, the whole shiur is built on the following, that Tosfos says that if she brought the Ola before the Chatos, even if she's alive, Tos says, I don't understand. How could it possibly be that she brings the Chatos and get ended? Finito. She would have to bring the Ola again. And the Gemara doesn't require that she bring the Ola again. So Tosus doesn't understand. If there's a din of Kedima Likupa, she should have to replace the Ola. And now we're bringing a tremendous riot to Tosus. Because the Gemara says in Menachos that if you have to do the Hazoyas Kodesh Kadoshim first, and instead you brought what? You did the Matan Bahonos, then the Gemara says you have a problem now because the Matan Bahonos could not come. You did, right? Because the Matan Bahonos cannot come before what? Before the Hazoya, and therefore you have to redo the Matan Bahonos. But the Gemara doesn't say a word about repeating the Hazoya. There was never a psul in the Hazoya because the din of Kedima means that I need the first to be mati the second. Again, I don't want to use the word mati, but if that helps anybody, we'll use the word mati. So my question to you is the following. Is it possible that according to the Ritva, Din Kedima, if the Torah went out of its way to say that the, if the Torah went out of its way to say what? That the Matan Bahonos has to come after the Hazah. Okay, we'll see what the Psukim are. Then that sets up a din of Seder Kedima. Okay? And the Ritva would agree that in Dine Seder Kedima, you cannot be mocked in the second one before the first one, and that's a din in the second one. The Ritva would not deny that. And therefore, in a case where you did the Matan Bahonos first, you're going to have to redo the Matan Bahonos after you did the Hazor. Why in the case of Ola and Chatos does the Ritva believe that the problem is in the Chatos and not in the Ola? Because the Ritva thinks that Chatos and Ola in the case of Yoledis is not a din of Seder. And how do I know it's not a din of Seder? Because let me ask you the following question, which is going to be addressed in the next line of Tosfos. What happens if Reuven has to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash and it's an Ola? Shimon has to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash and it's a Chatos. And they both pounce upon the coin. Okay, we'll dramatize. There's one coin and Reuven is dragging him on this side and Shimon on the other side. So what does the coin do in this case? He brings the Chatos first. We'll see it in Tosfos in just one line. Is that a din of Seder HaKrova? It can't be a din of Seder HaKrova. Why not?
There's no Seder in this case.
Why?
Because
they're two different Bailim. If they're two different Bailim, it can't be a din of Seder HaKrova. The Sugya of Mitzora is setting up a Seder. One comes first, and the second one comes second. And the Ritva holds that the second one, like Tosfos maintains, has to come second. It can't come first. If you brought the second first, it's possible. Bring the second one second. That's a din in Seder. And the Gemara is going to derive from Psukim that the Hazor comes first. That's the way the Pasuk says it. And then afterwards comes the Matan Bahonos. That's a Seder. You have two Avodos that belong to one Karbon, and the Torah is telling you exactly in what order to do them. If exactly in what order to do them means you can't do the second one before the first one, and therefore the Ritva would agree that the second one becomes possible if you are mocked in it. And that's the Sugi Menachos. Ah, you'll ask me about Ola and Chatos, and our Diuk in the Ritva, I think, was precise that in the case of Yoledes, she's got to bring the Chatos first, and that's a din in Chatos. The answer is, that's a din in Chatos, because Chatos comes before Ola. Has nothing to do with the Seder HaKrova of Yoledes. It's simply a din in Kedima. Kedima without Seder Avoda. There's no Seder Avoda from one person's carbon to another person's carbon. Take a look at the next line in Tosfos. I'm just going to show you where I got this from, and then maybe we could. You know what? If you have this page, I mean, Tosfos is about to quote it, but it's a little bit clearer on the page because Tosfos only refers to this. But the Gemara says in Zvachim, Vechatos ha'of kodemes li'olas ha'of. Okay, the Gemara is talking about ofos, but that's irrelevant because the Gemara applies this to all chatos, and that's called the binyanah. And the Gemara says minani mili, and it says vehikriv es asher lachatos rishona. Ma tam alom shein tam alom elan shetikriv rishona asher ikvar nemar ves ashedi ala ola. I'm sorry, whatever it was. Elazeb binyanah v'chol chatos shiakdimu li'ola. Do you follow that? That's a din in all chatos. So in other words, what we see in this sugya is that the din of chatos kodemes li'ola is not restricted to Seder HaKrova. Again, it applies to Seder HaKrova, and that's why we have to understand why in the case of Yoledes she can possibly get away with an Ola before the chatos, but nevertheless it's not limited to a Seder HaKrova. It applies as a universal rule that whenever there's a choice between a chatos and an ola, the chatos comes first.
I'm sorry, but that's not what the Gemara says. Gemara says the chol chatos yekim lo ha'pol simon. This is when they actually come with the same Bible. This is not. This doesn't teach us about when they come from two different Bibles. This is not when it's one Bible.
So if you have the Rashi there in Zvachim, maybe you could open up to the Rashi in Zvachim. Take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos says the following. he says, "Dilachatchila chatas kodemisli ola," right? Chatas kodemisli ola. Just one second. Maybe I saw it in Rashi. I don't remember. Oh, listen, Yechiel, to the language of the Tosefta. The Tosefta says, "Shnayim omdin bazara, umevim shnei karbanos, takdim esachatos liola." You hear this?
Mm-hmm.
So the Tosefta is talking about a case where there are two people, both are bringing a karban, and one is bringing a chatos, and the other is bringing an ola. So who do we give precedence to? To the chatos. And he says that that's not a halacha of kedima b'seder avoda. That's a halacha that the chatos gets first dibs, so to speak. You know, the chatos has more, we'll call it a chashivus, or more of an urgency. So in our case of yoledes, according to Tosefta, I mean, Yechiel's right, I have to prove him that's true even in the Bavli, but we're not talking about a seder of hakrava, we're talking about a din of kedima. So I'm just trying to suggest, and this would have a major impact on what the Ritva had in mind, we thought that we could universalize the Ritva and say that in every case when there's a din of kedima, then the kedima is a matir for the second one. I'm sorry, that's going to Tosus. According to Ritva, the din of kedima means that you could only be makshir the first one if it came first, and if it doesn't come first, then it's possible. That's not necessarily so. Although the Ritva certainly maintains that position with regard to a Seder HaKrava, and he understood that when there's a Seder HaKrava, then the Chatos has to come what? Before the Ola. If not, the Chatos is Psula. However, if you have a halacha that's not related to Seder HaKrava, for example, if I argue that the Chatos has to come before the Ola, not because of the HaKrava. Again, it happens to be that in the case of the Yoledes, that's called a Seder HaKrava. I'm not denying that. But what generates the halacha that Chatos comes first? In fact, to the best of my knowledge, Yechiel, you'll check this out and see if you can argue against me. Maybe I'm wrong. The Gemara never quotes a pasuk to prove that the Yoledes brings the Chatos before the Ola. It's all included in this Binyan Av, which the Tosefta says that if two people bring a karban, then we give precedence to priority to the chatas. In other words, we're just applying a universal principle to a particular case. And if that be the case, then it's not a din of Seder Avoda. And if it's not a din of Seder Avoda, then the Ritva says what he says. But in the case of Seder Avoda, then the Ritva would agree that you can't bring the second one, because if you bring the second one, there's no, how should I say, introduction, there's no preliminary stage, call it a matter if you like, but there's no stage number one to set up stage number two. So again, just to review it one more time, okay, Dr. Joel, just for myself. In the case of Matan Bahonos, the Ritva would agree that when do the Matan Bahonos have to be given? Only after the Azor. And there's a problem, because what do I do with these Matan Bahonos that came before the Azor? And the answer is I'm going to have to replace them. And that the Ritva would accept, which is really the thrust of what we saw in Tosis. However, if there's some sort of a din of kedima that's not in the Seder Avoda, like for example, Yom HaKippur. So if you learn a little bit of Yom HaKippur, you'll find that there's a Seder Avoda. And if the Kohen Gadol would change the Seder Avoda, that's Likuva. The Rambam dedicates an entire chapter in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim to the Seder Avoda, because the Rambam says it's Likuva. But if you're talking about Dini Kedima, okay, there's a Din of Kedima. You know, like Zrizim Akdimim Lemitzvahs. So if he wasn't Makdim the Mitzvah, does that mean that therefore it's possible? Like for example, let's say you had a choice between two mitzvahs, and the halacha would require that you do the first one that comes to your hand first. That's called Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvahs. Like for example, which is close to when he comes into the Heichal, just remind me, is the menorah, yeah, we'll get to Talis, but if the menorah is first or the Mizbeach is first?
The menorah is in the south.
The menorah, I think so he comes in through the south, he hits the menorah first. So he has a double mitzvah of Dishun, he's got to do the Dishun on the menorah, and he has to do a Dishun on the Mizbeach. So which one does he do first? on a menorah. Okay? So that's a din of ein over in ala mitzvahs. In that case, let's say he jumped over and passed over the menorah and he went to the mizbeach first. It's kosher. Because that's only a din of kedima. Like the rabbi asked me, what comes first, tefillin or talus? Anybody know why the talus comes first? L'chor, I would say intuitively, put on your tefillin first. You mean because we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos? Well, then you're getting into the machlokas about tefillin on Shabbos. But the Gemara says a different reason, that the reason why talus has to come first is because Milan B'Kodesh may Mariv B'Kodesh. And now the question is, what happened if accidentally his tefillin were on top of his talus? That was a no-no, but he did it. Or he picked up his tefillin first. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, in such a case, he should put on his tefillin first because of ein over in all mitzvahs. Now let's say he put the tefillin on the side and he picked up his talus. Which, by the way, is, I'm not blaming anyone but myself, that's probably what we would do in that case. You know, what would you do, you know, on the snap of your finger, if you noticed that the tefillin was on top of the talus? You'd probably put it on the side. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, in such a case, you should put on your talus first. There are those who say that the Mishnah Berurah made a mistake on that. Again, not a mistake, but the Shagas Aryeh was of the opinion that once you set up a din of kedima, then that din of kedima always applies. So even if you put the tefillin on the side, in this case, since when you came to the situation, what did you find first? The tefillin. You're going to have to go back and pick up the tefillin, even though you violate the principle of Milan B'Kodesh V'Ein Morinim B'Kodesh. But the only point I wanted to make is that in Dina Kedima, as a general rule, we don't want to passel the mitzvah if you undermine Kedima. Kedima is only an embellishment of the mitzvah. It's like Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvahs. There is one case where Kedima is Ma'akev, and you're going to have to say that it's a din in Seder Avoda, and that's the case where he brought a karbon after the Tomid Shel Ben Arbayim. But for that, you have to learn a whole sugya of Masechta Pesachim, Tavid Nishcha, because the there halacha is halacha, like the Ritva would say. No. I'm sorry. I take that back. Like Tosas would say, that it's halacha that you can only bring the Tamid after you've brought all the other karbonos. Because the Torah says, Olea Hashlim is called karbonos kula. You remember that? That's the first sugya in Tavid Nishcha.
The Tilma Shel Yad and Tilma Shel Rosh,
yeah,
has that in as well.
Correct, but you first start with the Tilma Shel Yad.
And if you take out the Shel Rosh first,
you put it on first.
No.
Oh, you know?
Because they're tracking because of the Pasuk.
Ah, so it's not just the Din of Ein Over and Ala Mitzvahs.
That's right.
Oh,
it's the Pasuk that has to come.
I thought it was the Din of Ein Over and Ala Mitzvahs. Right. Okay, Rabbosai, now we get to Reb Chaim. When I say Reb Chaim, I don't mean. Yes. My Rebbe's grandfather. I'm talking about, again, there's a Karen over here. I'm trying to decide, you know, what do we have, about 8 minutes left? What should we do? Should we do the Karen Ora, or should we do Reb Chaim in the Baal Tosfos? If we do the Karen Ora, what's today? Today's Monday?
Yeah.
Then B'li Neder on Wednesday, I want to start the Shia with Reb Chaim.
There's no Shia tomorrow?
No, it works like this. We have two groups.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to appeal to as many groups as I can. And there's some Lashon Hara about my Shia that I don't entertain questions. So that's why I lost the people who didn't want to join the Shia. My feeling is, and I can tell you straight, anyone could join the Shia. And anyone could get something out of the Shia. But okay, people are scared. Maybe they're scared about Kodshim. Maybe they're scared about the Nefesh Tova. Maybe they're scared about Reb Chaim Baal Tosfos or Reb Chaim Brisker. I don't know. But in any event, so what we did was we made a pshara, and again, I don't know, Rabbi, you'll have to tell me if I'm am I living up to my promise that we do a Monday Wednesday thing. Sometimes I get confused, I forget.
We're fine.
You were okay, because sometimes I forget from one week to the other what we did on Monday and what we did on Tuesday and what we did. On Wednesday. But basically,
is for other is another Seder.
No. It's the same. It's the same, but it's officially a different group. Actually.
People in this group are a smaller number.
Yeah, because on Thursday I have major competition with our friend Rabbi Finkelstein up the block, and what's the name of the shul? Help me out here. What's the name of Rabbi Finkelstein? Nitzanim. Because Nitzanim has a major program on Thursdays, unless they stop that.
In the morning.
Thursday morning. So the Thursday morning is... I should really take vacation on Thursdays. But no, just kidding. Whoever comes on Thursday is Tovah Lo Bracha. I also give twice a week. I give what's called Derech HaLimud. If anybody wants to come, and that's we're starting a whole new limud now. We're learning Hilchos Talmud Torah in the Rambam, and I'm trying to prove from these limudim exactly how to learn the Rambam. There's to derive methods and methodological principles on as to how to learn the Rambam. So that's on Tuesday. That's on Sundays at noon and. Sundays at noon, right? Help me out here. And Mondays at 2 o'clock. Okay. So I'll see you at 2, John. Okay. So let's take a look at the Karen Ora. So first of all, I'll tell you what I want to get out of this Karen Ora. And it seems that the Karen Ora wants to claim that when it comes to Chatos and Ola, and the Chatos has to come before Ola, there are two dinim, there are two different dinim. Again, he's way before Rav Chaim Brisker, but he already had Tzvei dinim before Rav Chaim. And he says the following. Then number one, there's a din of Chatos and Ola that come for one chiyuv. Like, for example, your letters. And then he says, there's Xeris HaKosev in such a case that the Chatos has to come first. Okay? Then he says that there's another din that is not two karbanos for one chiyuv, but two karbanos for two different chiyuvim. And he says that in that case, the chatas has to come first, not because of one chiyuv, but because of the halacha that chatas gets precedence over the ola. And he says that, let's say, for example, you have that case that we mentioned in the Tosefta, which again, I didn't remember it was the Tosefta, but that's who the Karen Ora points out. And that is that two people came into the Azara, each one with his own karban, and therefore the Chatas comes before the Ola. And the Karen Ora claims over here, if you take a look at his language towards the bottom of your page going on to the second page or the flip side of your page, that this halacha, that if you have two chiyuvim, that the Chatas comes first, he claims that that's not a Xeris HaKosim, that's a Svara. And he says that the Svara is Ritzui versus the absence of Ritzui. Let me try to explain what I think he means. Again, I know that you're going to beat me up for saying this, but an Ola really doesn't have Ritzui to it. An Ola has something totally different. Anybody know what Chazal call an Ola? They have a word to describe an Ola? Do you remember that by any chance, Alan?
What's called a...
Yeah, they have a descriptive term, a philosophical term for an Ola.
For not...
Starts with a Dalit, if that helps you. It's called a Doron. Does anybody know what a Doron? If you have any friends by the name of Doron, you can give them a nickname and call them an Ola. They probably won't know what you're talking about. I have a student, Doron Katz. Does anybody know him? Dr. Katz from Teaneck. Anyway, originally from South Africa. So a Doron means a gift. And the Gemara says that an Ola is not really a kapara in the classical sense for some fault or some deficiency, but rather it's a way of getting closer to Hashem. That the king accepted your tshuva, now you want to give him a gift in recognition and gratitude. That's called an Ola, it's a Doron. But it's not really Ritzui and kapara in the classical sense. But what is the... with the Hei idea, the classical Ritzui? Chatos. And again, Chatos is for a serious, severe violation of, had it been mazed, of a Chiyuv Karis. So the Karen Ora claims that this din in the Tosefta, that Chatos kodemisli ola even for two Chiyuvim, that's a svar. That's not Xeris HaKosim. And the svara is that Chatos, insofar as it is a serious Ritzui, perhaps on the top of the list in Ritzui, as opposed to Ola, which is almost completely devoid of Ritzui, then the Ritzui has to come first. Again, so now we have two dinim. One is derived from Xeris HaKosuv, that the Chatos, when it comes with an Ola for the same Chiyuv, the Chatos comes first. And then we have a general Svara that Chatos should be given Kedima because of the urgency, so to speak, of a Ritzui. Okay. So now let's go back to the Ritva. The Ritva says that in the Kedima, the Ma'akev, or shall I say, the Posel, is in the Chatos and not in the Ola, correct? Because he says, Shuvah Eimakrivim Chatos, because the Ola came before the Chatos. So perhaps, according to this Karen Ora, we could say the following, that what the Ritva is talking about is a case of Exeris HaKosuv. And Exeris HaKosuv, that Chatos has to come before the Ola, in the case of Chatos Yoledes, means that the Chatos has to come first. In other cases, we're only dealing with the Svara, and according to the logic of the Svara, the Chatos should come before the Ola because the Chatos has a Ritzui. In that case, the Ritva might argue that the Ola itself is the focal point of this Din Kedima, which means to say that you can't bring the Ola first, because if you bring the Ola first, then what are you doing?
Ruined.
You're delaying the Chatos. So again, just to summarize, what the Keret Ohr, I think, is arguing here, he doesn't have the Ritva, but I think he means the Ritva, is that although in our case of Yoledes, the Chatos has to come before the Ola as part of Exeris HaKosuv. Again, we called it a Seder Avodah, he doesn't use that term, but he calls it Exeris HaKosuv. Here, what it means is that you can't accept the Chatos as coming second, because the Torah wants the Chatos to come first. Masha'ein Kain, when the Torah says, don't delay the Chatos, which again is not derived from Exeris HaKosuv, but a Svara, then he's saying that's a din in the Ola, that the Ola has to come first. The only question I want to leave you with as we end the Shia is a thinking question. What would be in the case of Hazoyas Kodesh Kodashim as opposed to Matan Bahonos? Can we apply the same principle of the Keren Ora and say that there too, what we're insulting the Kodesh Kodashim in a sense, if we bring the Matan Bahonos first? So in other words, you're preoccupied now with the Mitzorah as opposed to the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh Kodashim in this case. So just like we said, according to Keren Ora, you'd be, in a sense, undermining the Chatos by bringing the Ola first, and therefore Osir, it's like an Easter to bring the Ola first. So too we might say that you're undermining the Kodesh Kodashim if the Matan Bahonos, which is focused on whom? On Mitzorah would be attended to, if you pardon that phrase, attended to before he attends to the Azor, the Kodesh Kadoshim. And this would reflect a logical principle in Kodeshim, which is called Achilas Mizbeach, or there's another phrase that I'm looking for, who remembers? Kfar Achzo Mizbeach. Do you remember that phrase? Let's say you bring something onto the Mizbeach and the fire of the Mizbeach is already burning on it, even though it's not completely muktar, but the Gemara uses the term of achzo ha-Mizbeach, that the Mizbeach like grabs onto it. Or, for example, there's a whole perek in Masechta Zvachim called ha-Mizbeach Makadish, and that applies to even what?
Kedish.
Psulim, right? No, I need to say fundamentally, you're right about Kedish, but I mean Psulim. So you brought a carbon that's possible, and yet the Mizbeach says you brought it. Is Kevin Sha'olim Shuv Lo Yerdu? We have an Achizas HaMizbeach. Again, what that means philosophically, Mendel's not here, so he didn't ask me the question, so I got off easy. Because I don't know beans about the philosophy of Kachin. I hope one day I'll understand the philosophy of Kachin, but right now it's together, Sasum Legamre. We just had a sugya on, that was not on Mondays, it was on Tuesdays, of what's called Tzafon HaZorah. So, for example, in Kodshei Kodshim, the only place in the Azor that you're allowed to do the Shechita, and for that matter, the Kabbal Sadav, is only in what?
Tzafon.
In the Tzafon. And if you did it in the Dorom, it's possible, even though it has Kedushas Azor. So, for example, if he sheks the Shlomim in the Dorom, the Shlomim is Kosher. If he sheks the Chatas in the Dorom, the Chatas is Psul. And when it comes to Achilas Kodshei Kodshim, they have to be eaten in the Azor. And Achilas Kodshim Kalim can be eaten anywhere in what? Anywhere in the city. I mean, how do you understand all that? Okay. That's the part of Kodshim that... My sister is now giving a series of, as a volunteer, guided tour in the Museum HaMikra. Have you heard of the Museum HaMikra? And the exhibit, as of tomorrow, I think, is on Tchela.